Hello, this is Jose Arce for the record. I want to welcome everybody on this call. This is a special call so that we can exchange views and get to know people a little bit better. Perhaps we know or we think that we know them, but we have still one more opportunity to get to know them better. So I want to welcome you all to this call. And Silvia, I know you want to make some points clear on the agenda. So Silvia, you have the floor now. Thank you. This is Silvia Herland later speaking. I'm going to make a point of clarification, and then Gisela will be in charge of the roll call. All the candidates, as you have seen on the agenda, have 10 minutes to speak, a maximum time of 10 minutes. When you reach minute number 9, I will let you know that you have 1 minute left. We organized your participation in alphabetical order, so Fatima Cambronero will be the first speaker, followed by Humberto Carrasco, and finally Dev Ananthi Lakseng. There were no written questions. A couple of hours ago, two questions were circulated, and we have seen that candidates very quickly replied to them, so we thank them for that. But as regards questions that may arise, that participants may have on this conference call, we have a methodology, a working methodology. So the first question will be answered in the first play by Fatima, then by Humberto, and then by Dev. Question number 2 will be replied by Humberto, then by Dev, and then by Fatima. And question number 3, should there be a question number 3, will be answered by Dev, then by Fatima, and then by Humberto. And we will repeat this speaking order subsequently with questions 4, 5, and 6. Finally, we will devote the last 10 minutes of this teleconference to speakers or candidates letting us know or speaking as they will. So Dev will be the first one, the second one will be Humberto, and then Fatima will be the last candidate to hold the floor. Having said that, I have posted a link on the Adobe chat room with the statement of interest of each of these candidates. Gisela, you hold the floor now for the roll call. Thank you.
Thank you, Silvia. Welcome to everyone on today's call on Thursday, the 9th of August. On the Spanish channel, we have Antonio Medina Gomez, Sergio Salinas Porto, Alfredo López, Silvia Herline Leite, Alberto Soto, Carlos Aguirre, Vladimir Dávalos, Natalia Enciso, José Arce, Carlos Vera, Fatima Cambronero, Philip Boland, Humberto Carrasco, Wanda Cartesini, and Gilberto Lara. I hope I haven't left anyone off the Spanish channel. On the English channel, we have Roosevelt King, Dev Anand Tiluxing, and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. We have apologies from Marcelo Telez, and from staff on today's call, we have Silvia Vivanco and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, but also for the interpreters this evening, who are Sabrina and David. Thank you. Over to you, Silvia.
Thank you, Gisela. This is Silvia Herlane speaking. Juan Manuel is also on the Spanish channel. At least I can see his name on the Adobe Connect. Having said that, we can start with this conference call, and we give the floor to Fatima Cambronero. Fatima, you have the floor.
Hello. I have just one query before you start. Roosevelt King.
Yes, Fatima, we can hear you very well. This is Fatima speaking. Sylvia, first of all, I have a point of clarification. Can you hear me now? This is Sylvia speaking. Yes, we can hear you. This is Sylvia speaking. Yes, we can hear you well now. Go ahead. Fatima speaking now. First of all, I want to raise a point that will not be addressed on this teleconference, but I want to submit a motion of order to determine who the candidates will be because an issue arose regarding Humberto Carrasco's place of residence. I know we are not going to debate this now, but I want to know how this issue is going to be resolved and who will be the candidates. This is Jose Arce speaking now. This is Sylvia speaking. Jose, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. Thank you. This is Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. I want to reply Fatima's question. This is an issue that has been quite a sensitive issue for some time now. I spoke about this issue with the other Humberto, and I think this issue has to do with transparency, so I personally want to thank Humberto for making this public. And it's important to share it with the list of participants and to consult them on this topic. Since this issue arose right before this call, and the idea is not to harm anyone. Of course, it should have been disclosed much earlier, and we overlooked it for reasons beyond our control. So I personally want to thank Humberto for this clarification so that we can make a resolution or reach a decision. And as of today, Humberto, the idea is that you should be a valid candidate. This is the point of clarification I want to raise with Fatima. And maybe on the basis of the debate on our list and on the basis of consultation to staff, the staff legal department, we will reach a decision which we will communicate regarding Humberto's situation. At least while I am the chair, I will never harm any member of our organization. This has been an exceptional situation, and it may be easily, or it shouldn't be easily resolved. There are many valid arguments, pros and cons, that need to be considered. In the interest of time and in the interest of this debate, Humberto will be considered a valid candidate for the purposes of this teleconference. Thank you. This is Sylvia Herlane speaking. Thank you, Jose.
Hello, this is Roosevelt King.
I agree with Jose. This was a last-minute situation. There are many arguments for and against. We need to take time to analyze Humberto's argument or reply and the arguments submitted to our list. So we have three candidates, three nominees, three acceptances, and three candidates to become ALAC members in our next term of office. This is Sylvia Vivanco from staff. It's difficult to interpret Jose because there is a background noise in Jose's line. So when Jose speaks, may Sylvia Herlane summarize his comment so that interpreters can properly interpret Jose. I think this issue with Jose's line is because he is on a cell phone. This is Sylvia Herlane speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. In fact, Jose said that we do not intend to harm anyone, and since this argument arose almost on the verge of this teleconference, so our reply to Fatima is that today the three candidates will be considered as normal candidates, and we will hold this teleconference to get to know them better. And after that, we will consult ICANN legal department to see how we proceed. But today we will proceed as usual. I see that Carlos Aguirre and Antonio Medina are requesting the floor.
Hello, Roosevelt King is also requesting the floor.
We are going to consider the three candidates. We are going to give the floor to Fatima because this conference call will last for 1 hour. I would like to ask Carlos and Antonio to reconsider whether they want to hold the floor or if they can wait. Carlos Aguirre speaking. Sylvia, I need to make a question. Carlos Aguirre speaking. When you say that today we will decide or resolve what happened on our list, who do you refer to when you say we are going to decide? Is there going to be a lawyer or a prominent figure that will decide on that?
Hey, babe.
I am asking this in the interest of transparency in the process.
Nardine.
This is Sylvia Herlane Lake.
Nardine. Can you bring me my thing, please?
I did not.
Can you bring me my my laptop?
I did not put it correctly. Today we are not going to resolve anything. Together with Jose and ICANN's legal department, we will study the comments on the list. But this is not relevant or not applicable to today's teleconference. Antonio would like to hold the floor. Antonio, please be brief. Antonio Medina, you have the floor. Sylvia, this is Jose Arce speaking. If Antonio is not going to hold the floor, I don't know if he has a problem or an issue with his line. Sylvia Herlane speaking. Jose, would you like to hold the floor or Jose Arce speaking for the record? Yes, I'm going to be quick. I have an issue with my line. I couldn't quite hear what Carlos said, but I want to reiterate that no decision or resolution will be made on today's call. The purpose of today's call is to get to know the candidates. And the decision that we will be reaching in the coming days is a different one. The interpreters apologize. Jose Arce has issues with his line. Sylvia Herlane speaking. As requested by Sylvia Bianco, I will summarize what Jose Arce just said. This conference call is simply to get to know the three candidates. Antonio, you have the floor now. Go ahead. Thank you. This is Antonio speaking for the record, Antonio Medina for the record. For the record, I would like to say, or I would like this decision to be on the record, that is, that the three candidates have been accepted. So I would like to know the rationale or the grounds taken into account to reach this decision. Jose Arce is speaking.
We do have a...
Jose Arce is speaking for the record. I don't know, Antonio, if you were able to hear the justification of what I said of why I want to consider Umberto only for today's call as a valid candidate. There are many arguments for and against, many concerns, and there are some people that are in favor of this, some people that are against. This issue is not easily resolved, and I do not intend to harm anyone as the chair of this organization, and nor does the secretariat intend that. So Umberto will be a valid candidate for today's call. Thank you.
Hello, can anybody hear me? Can anybody hear me? Okay, I've been requesting for the time.
I allocated time. So, Rosal King, you have the floor now. Rosal King, you have the floor now. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. First of all, I don't know why we would just consider Humberto a candidate for this conference call. I don't think that we're here to waste time. Humberto is a candidate or he's not a candidate. And if Humberto is not resident in Latin America, there's a problem. If he is studying and he is in England or somewhere else, for a period of time, and he intends to return to his homeland, well, okay, but I don't think that you should say that Humberto can come and present, pick up time, presenting whatever he has to present, and later on, that he's not a candidate. He's either a candidate right now, or he ain't a candidate at all. That is my contribution.
Thank you. This is Sylvia Herlane later speaking. Rosal, I'm sorry, but we cannot answer to this question. The chair and myself as the secretariat made it clear that we do not have time to address this issue, and we are not the ones to decide this issue right now. This conference call is for the purpose of getting to know the candidates, and right now we have candidates that are officially accepted. After this conference call, if something else is resolved, so be it. But right now, we have three candidates, and I am not going to give the floor to anyone else until we reach the question and answers time. Thank you. So, as stated on the agenda, we have 10 minutes allocated to Fatima Cambronero to speak about herself and to explain what she intends to do should she be elected to this position. It is 19:22. Fatima, you have 10 minutes. This is Fatima Cambronero speaking. There is plenty of background noise on the line. This is Sylvia Herlane speaking. Yes, please, speakers on the Spanish channel, mute your phones by pressing *6, please. Thank you. This is Fatima speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you very much. This is Fatima for the records. As many of you know me already, and as you know, I have submitted my SOE, and it is now posted on the wiki. Sylvia has posted that. I am involved in ICANN's topics. I specifically have been participating in La Crallo since the end of 2008. And in the summit of 2009 held in Mexico, I started participating remotely in ICANN's meeting to date, except for three meetings in which I attended as an ICANN fellow, as part of ICANN's fellowship program. Those of you that have been participating for the same time know me already, and the fact that I am a candidate now does not mean that I'm going to change. What I have done is done. I cannot change it. But looking forward, I can improve plenty of things. I cannot promise that I will work magic, but I do want to ask you for the following. If you are going to choose me as a candidate to represent La Crallo before the ALAC, I will need you all to support me and to work. I would like, or I need all of us to work in a collaborative fashion, to work as a team, to learn how to listen to one another on a regional level. We are facing several issues, and the only way in which we can resolve them is through dialogue. The same happens in a family. You don't reach a solution until you talk things over and over. We need to contribute to discussion and debate. As regards time available to participate in the ALAC, right now I am working as a freelancer, so I have time availability and I can accommodate or manage my own time, and I can accommodate teleconferences, La Crallo, ALAC, and at large tasks in my agenda. And I hope that what we started in Costa Rica starts working effectively. Sometimes we complain about lack of participation from some La Crallo members. And I do understand that that lack of participation is because people want to be heard and want to be respected and taken into account. And they want to see their contributions put to a good use. Some people are tired of seeing their contributions being used by other people to their own personal benefit. Personally, I do not agree with that. I believe that La Crallo can make statements with other consequences and not what is happening now. ALAC is an advisory committee and new issues arise all the time and we need to make statements. So to that end, all of us need to work. We need to allocate tasks to specialists. Some of us are specialists in some topics, some in others, so we all need to contribute. Regarding Carton's question posted on the list, I mentioned the working groups where I am participating and where I have participated. I have worked in the La Crallo Operating Principles group since its inception. We submitted a proposal and we need to keep working on it. I also worked or collaborated with a showcase in the Cartagena meeting. I worked before the Costa Rica meeting. I worked specifically on the capacity building program for ALSs in Costa Rica, La Crallo in Costa Rica. And after that meeting, Natalia and Ciso and myself worked on a training program until the end of this year with host speakers in our La Crallo conference calls that will help us understand some topics that we do not understand that much or strengthen some other topics so that we can get involved in ICANN's policy development. In my view, you reach results when people are informed and trained. That is the only way in which you can participate and reach good results and have an influence on ICANN's policies, especially those that have to do with users in our region. Also, we participate in public comments forums. We participated in the WHOIS review team report. We participated in the review team for security, stability, and resiliency. And I don't know how I'm doing about time. This is Sylvia speaking. You're doing well. Good. Okay, this is Fatima speaking. So we keep focusing mainly on training people so that people can contribute. Oh, I am sorry. I am speaking too fast. I sent an email in reply to Carlton, and there are other working groups in which I have participated. I have participated in the Academy Working Group. I am currently involved in the At Large and Rules of Procedure Working Group. There's plenty of work ahead. And we need to keep working on our own La Crallo rules of procedures and operating principles so that all possible situations are contemplated and we do not reach a point that we have reached now in which we have to interpret or construe things that should be included in the rules. One of the things that I have learned at other meetings, at fellowship meetings, is how I can work. And I believe that I am trained and have the capabilities to participate in ALAC as La Crallo's representative. I am involved in internet governance issues, not only in ICANN, but also in the IGF. I was ISOC's ambassador in the past. I will be an ambassador again, and I am in contact or up to date with these internet governance topics, not only in relation to ICANN, but in a broader sense and in other, as discussed in other fora. To sum up, if you support me with your vote for this position, my work will not only be mine, but it'll be the region's work. I would like to see more things done by La Crallo, because we have capabilities to do that. Thank you very much for your attention.
This is Silvia speaking. Thank you, Fatima. You have given us 3 minutes that are very good for us. So now I give the floor to Umberto. Hello, do you hear me? This is Umberto speaking. Umberto Carrasco for the record. In my capacity as temporary candidate, I was listening to what was said in the beginning, and I would like to thank you, and because you are allowing me to speak. And I want to express why I want to be a candidate to be an ALAC member. For some of us, I am not. I am a person who does this, who's a newcomer, who is not really known by you. I'm a newcomer for La Crallo, and I arrived very recently, and I want to answer to Carlton's question. But I have been connected to domain name issues since 1998, when I prepared my thesis. One of the issues I prepared was related to the problems of domain names, and I was so interested in the issue that in 1999 I traveled especially more than 800 kilometers for an ICANN meeting. I financed myself to do this, to understand what was this issue of the domain names, and I was lucky enough to be in 1999 in Santiago when the policies for controversy resolution was approved in the same year for dispute resolution, and I also was involved in the reactions of the LACNI issues. At the same time, I am linked in the academia world to the domain names, and my fascination reached that point that what I sent in response to Carlson's questions was based on legal issues on congresses that I attended. In Lima, for example, in Spain, I organized an independent domain name congress in Chile. That was in 2002. And I have really been linked to the domain name issues, but from the outside. Then, unfortunately, because of labor issues, I couldn't really participate actively. And it was only when I started with my PhD that I was interested again in trying to understand from the inside how we live the explosion and the discussion of the problems of IDNs. And I found that this is a jungle. This really is a jungle. It's not easy, but it's really challenging. Perhaps I don't have sufficient experience internally, but I have experience in other fields. I usually reach my aims in my projects. I am very tolerant. I can say that in general, I have a good character, and because of this, I can withstand criticisms. That I have received many criticisms in the past 2 days, but this is not important. I think I am right, and I want to express that I want to contribute with my experiences to provide an input, because this could be useful inside. That's why I have already started to work in some of the work groups as a coordinator in the translation group. And I also want to learn as well. I have a capacity, and as regards time, this is true, I was involved in my PhD, but I think I have enough time to devote to this. When the preparatory meeting started in Costa Rica, since that moment until now, I have only missed one teleconference, and that was because I had an issue with a meeting at the university, but I have been complying with no problems. I have been meeting my deadlines. And I think I can provide an input. I think I can be a good representative as an ALAC member. I have skills like the other candidates, but I am here to convince you, or try to convince you, that I can do this properly. And this could be good for the region, because I'm also interested in internet users, and I deeply believe that we have a representation crisis at world level. And I also believe that this is happening because the connection between the representatives in the different bases is not properly designed. We have to try to collect the opinion everybody has, and this is the only way to implement participation and involvement. That is why I think I can contribute in many manners by trying to increase participation and involvement. If I am chosen, I will try to transfer as much information as possible, and I will never I will never oppose to doing this. That is why I believe that if you choose me, I will do a good work. Thank you very much. This is Silvia speaking. Gracias. Thank you, Umberto. Now, Deb has the floor. Deb, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Devananti Luxing. Thank you, everyone, and good afternoon to everyone. Well, my statement of interest has been posted on the agenda, but just to give a background of myself, I studied computer science at A levels, at Cambridge A levels, and I came first in at my school, and then afterwards I studied electrical and computer engineering at the University of the West Indies, where I graduated with a BSc in honors in electrical and computer engineering. I've worked at an engineering firm where we do engineering designs, and we work with architects. And so I have helped design and supervise the construction of several buildings, about half a dozen schools, about 25-story buildings with probably about 300 apartments, and so on. And in a way, that has given me a good experience in that, while one, you have to be very methodical about doing the design, because mistakes made in planning leads to increased cost, and you also have to deal with multi-stakeholders. I have to deal with the end users who would occupy the building and want certain changes. I have to deal with the client who wants to keep costs the same. And then we also have to deal with situations on the ground that were never anticipated when the drawings were done. And then we had to come up with a cost-effective solution. But my passion has always been in computers. I helped found the Computer Society I ran a bulletin board system before the internet became popular, I also even contributed code for a web browser, I'm still listed in the browser credits. I am happy to say still. In my ELS, the Computer Society, I've looked at various comments on ICT related policies in Trinidad and Tobago, and whenever I've done this, I've always looked at it for how it affects the individual end users. I'm maintaining the CD and the free and open source software CD and now DVD. It's now been used in a large number of countries around the world, and it's all about making it accessible to ordinary individual end users. Since I've actually been involved in ICANN, I've been with ICANN since the beginning of this of Lakralu. I helped sign the MOU with ICANN in December 2006, and in 2009 I participated in the working group 3 on UGTLDs and helped formulate the statement that was issued at the end of the summit, and in 2009, I served as the secretariat for Lakralu from late 2009 to early 2012, and I've worked on many tasks on behalf of Lakralu. I have participated in numerous at-large working groups. I've also chaired various at-large working groups. To answer Carlton's first question, I've chaired the at-large structure survey working group. I've chaired and contributed to the at-large improvements. There was 4 work teams there, and I was chairing one of the work teams. And I contributed very significantly to work teams B and C. And, you know, there was a lot of detailed flowcharts that were included in the at-large milestone report. And again, this is going to serve to improve, not just improve for Lakralu, but improve for the global at-large, to help at-large better contribute to the ICANN policy issues. I'm currently chairing the GTLD review group. This is coordinating the at-large ability to submit public comments on and file objections to new GTLD applications. I'm also chairing the Technology Task Force Working Group, which is helping review technology to help at-large structures better participate in Lakralu and, again, in all of the at-large. I've participated in the GAS working group that looked at how we can help better develop, how can we make the new GTLD program more accessible to needy applicants, applicants that could not afford the high fees. And I've participating in the new GTLD working group. And as part of that GTLD working group, I helped draft a proposal for the ELAC to submit public comments on and file objections to the new GTLD applications. And this was done in a very short period of time, and a lot of work was done on it, and it was approved by ELAC at the ICANN Costa Rica meeting. I've also submitted numerous comments to the ICANN's public comment focus group as part of the ICANN's Public Participation Committee. On behalf of Lakralu, I've really tried to help Lakralu in so many ways. I have updated the Lakralu wiki to explain various aspects of Lakralu, you know, regarding what are Lakralu's organizing documents and Lakralu representatives. I've participated in all of the Lakralo working groups, be it the Bailo working group, the working group for the Cartagena Lakralo showcase. I've worked on the, with the budget estimates for to help get the Lakralo Costa Rica events funded. Worked very hard to organize that Lakralo Costa Rica events, the planning of all the various capacity sessions, the showcase, and the general assembly. I've developed the Lakralo dashboard, and again, this is now being looked at the other relos because it's all about trying to make information about the ICANN policy work more accessible to the end users. So right now I'm currently involved in and still in several working groups still, the new GTLD working group, the ELAC Finance and Budget Subcommittee, the various rules of procedures working groups, the metrics working group.
Steph, I would like to tell you have only 1 minute ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure. Okay, no problem. So, there's lots of links in that SOI. My point is that whenever I evaluate policies, be it on the internet governance policies in my country or ICANN domain name issues, I have a passion for it. I spend a lot of time reading the information, listening to everybody's viewpoints. I'm not a person to say something first. I tend to listen to everybody, and I give, time to anyone who wants to chat with me or to talk with me. And I would like to say that I would like to want to continue with such care and diligence if elected by Lakralo to serve on the ALAC. I'm not a mind reader, so I really want to work with everyone to ensure that our ideas can get incorporated in the at large and the ELAC policy issues when the policy issues are being discussed, and I am able to work with the wider at large community to make that happen. So at this point I'll thank you all. Hello.
Thank you. This is Sylvia Herline speaking. Well, I would like to thank all the participants. We will now start using the minutes we have. We only have 13 minutes. That's why I have asked you to place your questions on the Adobe Connect so that in case we have no time to answer to all of your questions, we will send those questions to the candidates and they will be able to answer them in writing and we will post them on the wiki. The first question we have for the three candidates. Actually, this is two questions by Natalia and Ciso. First question reads, aside from ICANN, in which other governance forums have you participated, and how do you think your participation will favor our RILO? And the second question by Natalia is, what are ICANN's policies issues that you are studying, and how will this favor in the region? How will contribution favor the region? And the first person to answer this is Fatima. This is Fatima speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you. I will try to be as brief as possible so that we can all have time to speak. And I will try to speak slowly so that this can be interpreted. In relation to the first question by Natalia, I have said something in the beginning when I did my presentation. I work in several fora, and I participate in several fora, such as the preparatory forum for the IGF, the caucus for the government issues. I was a candidate for the MAG, supported by the caucus, for the election in this year. I also work in GigaNet, which is a network. I am a global member of ISOC, and now I am serving as a tutor for e-learning for the Spanish network for the next generation leaders. I also participate in ATF as a researcher. We are devoted to a research project with a trainee that is now in Colombia. And in those fields, I think the most important part is the interaction that we can reach, because we all have a specific function, and we should take all the issues that we are discussing and bring them to ICANN, because all this will favor us, especially this year, because this is called the year of the crisis of the multi-stakeholders, with the ITU meeting in Dubai for September, where there's some speculation that some of the internet governments will be on the hands of the ITU. And, of course, these discussions benefit all of the region, and specifically the creation of policies where we can all be involved to defend the rights of the internet users in our region. And the second question, the issues that I am committed with within our organizations is outreach. There are many organizations that have joined us as ALAs because we have contributed so that they can get informed and participate more and make a new organization. Capacity building is another issue in which I will insist strongly so that we can all be so we can all participate. I said this before as regards the capacity building in Gapralo, who is, and the protection of personal data is and privacy is an issue that I study a lot. I also study and I'm interested in compliance issues, so I may not be very related to it. I'm sorry, Fatima, there's someone coughing, and I would like to ask that person to dial *6. Go ahead, Fatima, please. Fatima speaking again. And to sum up, all of these issues need to be related to the internet users, because otherwise they are useless. And these should be issues that touch on local users. We support many people who are related to the internet or who have a certain issue because they do not really know about it. And this is how we get involved, and this is how we try to defend their rights. This is basically what I wanted to say. This is Silvia speaking again. Now, Umberto, you have the floor. Could you please answer those questions by Natalia and Ciso? Umberto, do you hear me? This is Umberto speaking. Hello. This is Umberto Carrasco speaking. As for the first question by Natalia and Ciso regarding my participation in other internet governance forums, my answer is no. I do not participate in any other governance forum because I do not have the time in the manner that you're asking me. But I have been able to participate from the academia field in the sense that I have been involved with lessons in areas in different universities regarding this issue. But to answer your question, the answer is no. Now, what are the issues in which I am interested and in which I could get involved and participate? Well, I do agree with Fatima that outreach is essential. When I was in Costa Rica, the capacity building really caught my attention, and I think this is an essential issue within ICANN. It's very complex also. It has many layers. And that is why we need to get involved to understand how this will work. I am particularly interested in dispute resolution policies. I have been following for a long time what has been the development And there's another issue that I am really passionate with regarding eliminating the restrictions to commercializing domain names. There is an issue of the competition, of the right to defend the competition, that I am very interested in because this could cause damages to the users. It's hard to understand him. And, of course, the Whois issue that has to do with privacy on the Internet, I'm really interested in that as well. And I agree with Fatima. This is my answer to all the two questions. This is Silvia speaking. Thank you, Umberto. Now it's Dev's time to answer Natalia's questions. Dev, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Devan Antilak Singh. Thanks, Natalia, for the questions. With regards to the other forums that I've been involved with, well, I have been following a lot of the internet governance issues. I've attended like the remote sessions of the IGF sessions. I have also been a Diplo Foundation went on a Diplo Foundation learning course, and I keep reading a lot of information relating to internet governance as it relates to the privacy issues and transparency. And the things like extrajudicial, let me rephrase it. Given that the internet and how countries and so on are trying to impose their legal boundaries on persons on the internet. So I've been really following a lot of the IGF stuff. With regards to the second question, because I know we're running out of time, in policy, ICANN policies use under consideration that interest me. I am interested in a lot in those policy uses that really affect the end users. So I would say that things like Whois, which really affects how all end users who register a domain name, and there's the transparency issue versus the privacy issue, and to me it's a very fascinating field, and I want to really look at it so that the end users' interests are safeguarded, but at the same time in a transparent manner. One of my big things in ICANN and in LACRALO, and something I will really keep pushing for, is this really the outreach, but I think also the strengthening of internet communities in our region. Right now, we have internet communities in each country and with different stakeholders. You know, you have the CCTLDs, you have persons in the GNSO, and at large, and yet we don't really know or aware of each other. And Khan talks a lot about when they have CCTLD redelegations about the local internet community. And I think what ICANN has not really done very well is strengthen the local internet communities in our countries. So that's something I really would want to work to document, and I've already started doing this project already. Taking the concepts from the dashboard, the LACRALO dashboard. I'm looking at tracking all the different stakeholders in ICANN from a country and looking to see where our gaps are and how we can work to get better together to really get properly involved in the policy issues. In terms of the outreach, definitely. In learning sessions and so forth, I fully support that, and I'm grateful to see that what Fatima and Natalia have put together the program to have these capacity building sessions so that they continue on from the LACRALO Costa Rica events. I think I'll stop there because I'm sure there's probably other questions and also other for the candidates and from you all.
This is Sylvia Herling speaking. Thank you, Dev. I would like to ask staff about timing. We are 1 minute away from the time allocated for this call. Can we extend the call for 10 minutes, or do we have to finish the call now? That is my question to staff. Gisela, Silvia Vivanco, can you hear me?
Yes, Gisela here.
We are checking this with Gisela.
We are just checking with the interpreters. Thank you. Gisela here again. Yes, we can extend. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. Silvia speaking. So now we are going to address Carlos Aguirre's question as question number two, and Humberto will answer, then Dev, and then Fatima. Carlos Aguirre is asking a question addressed to Dev and Humberto, but questions are for the three candidates. Carlos is asking, how many people are part of their organization and what are they doing in the benefit of end users in their countries in this last year? And if possible, can the candidate give us a link where we can see these activities? Is the question clear? If so, Humberto, you have the floor. This is Humberto speaking. Yes, the question is very clear. Thank you, Carlos, for your question. Edit Chile has 20 formally registered members, but we have only 6 active members. Each member generally acts individually or works individually. Some of them have participated in conferences or congresses. I should look for the corresponding links. But what I can tell you or give you is the links of work done so far, or at least in the last years. We have been working in 3 projects in the European Union, one of them intended to determine the status of AD Chile as an associate in Latin America. So the aim was to determine the problems of SMEs and individuals in doing e-commerce and business between Latin America and Europe. The name of this project is LECTO. I can send you the link via email. Then we are working on Pro Ideal and Pro Ideal Plus or Plus. These are projects also with the European Union, and this is ideal.eu. You can see the link later on. It has been recently updated. There are 2 presentations there. European Union members, we're trying to teach end users and legal entities how to work on a project to present it to the European Union. I do have all this information, and I can forward that information on the exchange list later on. Thank you. This is Silvia speaking. Thank you, Humberto. Dev, you have the floor to reply to Carlos Aguirre's question now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Carlos, for the question. I'll just point you to the link on our website, and on our website there's links to a lot of the stuff that we have done over the years. We have contributed to, commented on ICT policies in our country. We've always published in an open and transparent manner all of our comments and our questions and our concerns on all these ICT policies in our country. We have been involved in several activities. In terms of the numbers, we have a large email list, very active. I would say it's about, let's say about 200 users on the mailing list, and about, you know, a good core persons who attend each meeting. I would say about 20 persons that attend each of our monthly meetings and so forth. We have videos of us doing things like going on the national television to talk about free and open source software. We have also done seminars talking about ICANN. And again, all of those links are on our website. We have pictures on Flickr and videos on YouTube and so forth. So you can browse those too and see for that. I think that answers that question. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. This is Sylvia Herlane speaking. Fatima, you now hold the floor to reply to Carlos Aguirre's question. Thank you, Sylvia. This is Fatima speaking. I missed the first part of the question, so could you quickly repeat that part, please? Sylvia speaking again. How many members are there in your organization, and what are the activities that you are doing in the benefit of end users, especially in the last year, and can you provide a link to those activities? Fatima, for the record, thank you. Carlos knows the answer, of course, but in Ajeya Dense, Argentina, we have more than 20 members. We have many of them working actively in ICANN and LACRALO. Carlos is a GNSO member. Jose Arce is LACRALO's chair. Andres was a Ajeya Dense member. Javier Pajero, Gustavo Rodriguez are also actively engaged in LACRALO, especially of late. There are other Ajeya Dense chapters in Latin America. So we have more than 200 members all in all. Some of them are engaged in LACRALO. You do know the ones that are engaged in LACRALO. And as regards to the second part of the question, in relation to the events, we participate, well, we organize talks, courses, training sessions. We have a special section in the School of Law devoted to internet issues in addressing the School of Law students. We have worked with the Bar Association of the province of Cordoba. We are working on a project that will affect not only litigators but also clients. So they will have to become specialized in these topics, especially in the province of Cordoba. That is where we are based, where we reside. A short time ago, we organized a seminar, a training session at the School of Law, but it was open to the public. It focused on law and economy, and it addressed internet governance issues. We are also involved in the IGF preparatory meeting. We are consulting community members in the same way as we did last year. Last year, we participated in our capacity as moderators of one of the events. I need to look for the links, but I will send them later on. I cannot find them right now. Ajeya Dense is an active member with a D category or B category in LACNIC as of this year. We are working in policy development in LACNIC in connection with topics that affect the region. Next month, together with LACNIC's support, we will hold an event focused on IPv6, addressing people that are in charge of this topic in their own organization. This is Sylvia speaking. Thank you, Fatima. Unfortunately, your time is up, but you can address this question in writing later on. We will now give the floor to Sergio Salinas Porto. We will consider his question as question number 3, and it will be answered by Deb, then by Fatima, and then by Umberto. Sergio Salinas, you have the floor now. Thank you, Sylvia. This is Sergio Salinas Porto for the records. Briefly, I will put forth two questions. First, I want to ask the three candidates to define the function of an ALAC member and the strategy they will like to implement once or if elected. Secondly, I want to put a question to Dev as a fellow member in the Caribbean. This has to do with something that arose some time ago that has to do with a fixed ALAC member for the region. If he were elected by all the RALO, would he or his organization, this is the interpreter speaking, we believe Sergio has dropped.
No.
Sergio speaking. Can you hear me? This is Sylvia. We missed the last part of your question. This is Sergio speaking. The question was, if most of LACRALO members were to elect you as an ALAC member, would you and your organization continue to uphold the fixed ALAC member within LACRALO? That's the question. Thank you. This is Sylvia. Dev, you have the floor. Are Sergio's questions clear?
This is thank you, Sylvia. This is Dave. I think so. Regards to the first question, define the function of the ELAC. The at-large advisory committee has to represent the interests of the individual internet end user in ICANN policy issues. And in that regard, we are to, that's our key focus and our primary focus. And so whenever any ICANN policy issues is out there, we have to make conscious decisions as to how does this impact the end users, what's our advice regarding these policies, and give input in that regard. And it's also to work by consensus with all the other rest of the at-large advisory committee and ensure that any particular interests or concerns that we have can be met and supported by the rest of the at-large advisory committee. I know we're running out of time, but I think that's our key focus. Regards to the second question, first of all, if elected by LACRALO, I would be, of course, working for all of LACRALO. Would we insist on? I think that's really a decision for the LACRALO to decide, I would think. There's been a history, and I think it's unfortunately it's because we are not collaborating as well as we should. And I think what has happened over time is that this has now led to various misunderstandings, and I think a lot of hurt feelings, I would say, from various persons here. That being said, I don't see. I really don't know if I would say I want it not to be considered anymore. I think that it really needs to be discussed with all of the ALS members. And again, I would like to get consensus on these matters and so forth. And again, have a LACRALO that is working together and contributing to ICANN policy issues rather than, I would say, devolving into the politics and so forth, which is, quite frankly, is not really my interest. My interest has always been ICANN policy issues, how they affect the end users in the Latin American and Caribbean region. I know we're running out of time, but I'll leave it at that.
This is Sylvia speaking. Thank you, Dev. Fatima, you have the floor. This is Fatima speaking. Thank you, Sylvia. I have to answer, what is the function of an ALAC member, right? This is Sylvia. Yes, that is correct. Fatima speaking again. Thank you, Sergio, for your question. I explained that in my initial presentation, but I will explaining again. ALAC is one of the four advisory committees within the ICANN structure. So our main function is to give advice. That is why the ALAC members' function will be to give advice on the basis of opinions from the region on topics that will be debated by the ALAC. Normally, ALAC drafts statements that are put to a vote, and the ALAC member communicates that to the region for input, and if they want to indicate how to proceed to a vote, then that is the way we will proceed to a vote. And if not, we will engage in further debate. Thank you. This is Sylvia speaking. Umberto, you have the floor now. Hello. This is Umberto speaking. Dev and Fatima have thoroughly explained the role of an ALAC member. But I would like to say broadly that as part of that committee, we need to pass or approve different requests of ALSs or applications for ALSs. And we need to be very careful for the benefit of end users. I think that advice and outreach are the main functions. Of course, there are many more. I believe this answers the question. Thank you. This is Sylvia speaking. Thank you, Umberto. I do apologize to Roosevelt and Carlton, who are asking for the floor. Unfortunately, our interpreters, Sabrina and David, gave us a 10-minute extension. We have had a 16-minute extension, so I really do have to bring this conference call to a close. I ask you all to submit your questions, to send your questions. You have time until August 11th at 23 UTC. We will collect all questions and answers. We will post them on the wiki. I thank you all for your time, for your participation. We had 18 participants at one point on this call, so this call has been a success. I want to thank you all. I want to thank staff for their support, and I officially bring this conference call with candidates for ALAC. I bring it officially to a close. This is Sylvia speaking. Thank you and goodbye.